there, and he spun his tires and kind of got us back there in the pack a little bit. But we had a really good Tundra and we were able to drive back by. But on the final restart, I was just trying to give him enough space to where if he did spin his tires, I could still get to the bottom. And, you know, luckily once I got into one, could clear him and clear Johnny, and they stayed side by side and we were able to just drive away.
It's Brett's second career win with Noah Gregson in second, followed by Johnny Sauter, Ben Rhodes, and Matt Crafton is your full top five. Johnny Sauter leads the points by an already massive 31 over Matt Crafton as that series heads to Las Vegas this weekend as well.
TheFinalLap.com.
You know, in business, it's all about the bottom line. And since I sit in this uncomfortable old desk chair about 12 hours a day, well, my bottom line could really use a new chair, if you know what I mean.
Staples has lots of ways to save your business money. And right now, during the Staples Chair event, you can save up to 50% on a full selection of office and desk chairs.
That really helps my bottom line, in more ways than one.
Work comfortably for less. The office chair event at Staples. Better chair equals better workday. Ends 3/10/18.
If your old washer won't, and your old dryer doesn't, the Home Depot's about to make your laundry day with up to 35% off appliance special buys. Like the Electrolux high-efficiency front-load washer and electric dryer, now just $4.98 each, and 50% off matching pedestals. For guaranteed energy-efficient performance and plenty of change in your pockets, come to the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. Gas dryer extra, see store for details, valid through February 28th.
5:07, welcome back. Welcome to hour number two of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Currently with you on all three frequencies. That will change coming up at the bottom of the hour, 1600 AM. Our main gym frequency will join up with the Cyclone Radio Network. They're still playing regular season basketball in Ames tonight. It's senior night as Iowa State takes on Oklahoma State. That'll leave you with us on 106.3 FM in Iowa City and 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids until 6:20 tonight. Then it's high school basketball. A pair of boys sub-state finals coming your way. And I know Scott Unash is looking forward to that. Scott also came through with a text to my phone, Cheryl Bernard. I knew he would know the name of the Canadian curler who was the skip on the silver medal-winning Canadian women's curling team in 2010. She's retired. I bet Tom Cakert from HawkeyeReport.com also knows who I'm talking about. We love Canadian curling here on the program. Tom joining us from New York City, where I'm extremely jealous. I know I talked ad nauseum about not liking New York City leading up to the Pinstripe Bowl, but you've got dinner reservations tonight at John's on 12th, which is where we one of the meals that we had when we were out there, and I can taste those meatballs tonight, Tom. I can taste them right now.
That's the first order. Once we get there, a little appetizer of meatballs, buddy.
Yeah, well, you got to make sure you get a good meal on night number one because there's no guarantee that there's going to be anything beyond tomorrow night for the Hawkeyes. Illinois, we sort of chatted about this at Carver Hawkeye on Sunday. Some people thought maybe Iowa would have benefited from losing to Northwestern and winding up on the other side of the bracket. But your thoughts on this draw for the Hawkeyes?
It's not good just because, you know, Iowa beat Illinois at Illinois, but I think this Illinois team, they're playing for something a little bit more right now, just under a new coach first year. They're trying to make a real impression, whereas this Iowa team's just kind of been going through the motions here lately. They would have benefited from losing and getting to play Minnesota and then potentially Indiana, two teams that I think they could, you know, at least, you know, have a real good chance of beating. And I just think Illinois is going to be coming in roaring for Iowa, especially the way things went in Champaign. And they'll be pretty motivated. Now we'll see what kind of motivation the Hawkeyes have. But you look at those last two home games, and I was talking to Mike Haloss about this a little bit ago. You know, how many they've given up record-setting to at least individuals, three-point shots made at home in the last couple games with Robert Johnson and then Scotty Lindsey, and they're not exactly the greatest three-point shooters in the Big Ten. And they've been getting torched all year by three-point shooting. And you know, look back at that Illinois game, Trent Frazier had made seven threes against him. So I suspect he's going to have a big game tomorrow against Iowa.
Tom, I think one of the stories heading into the Big Ten tournament, at least, is going to be the site itself. This tournament moved up a week. Jim Delaney talking about the fact that it might not be in New York for seasons to come. But how big of a story do you think that the possible lack of crowds are going to be at Madison Square Garden?
I would suspect it's going to end up being a pretty significant story this weekend. Now, they may have good crowds on Saturday and for the championship game and maybe on Friday, but boy, these first couple games. Tomorrow night, I joked with our friend Mike Colas today that I said we might be able to count the number of people that are going to be there tomorrow at 4:30 in the afternoon when Iowa's playing, just because there's not a natural draw. There might be more fans for the nightcap with Rutgers, and they might have a few more people there, but boy, for that first game, when that thing tips off, I bet we're going to see a lot of empty seats at Madison Square Garden.
Tom Kakert with us from HawkeyeReport.com. Iowa and Illinois will be in action this time tomorrow. It's a 4:30 tip-off Central Time at Madison Square Garden. Where does this rank among Jim Delaney's misses as commissioner of the Big Ten, putting the tournament in Madison Square Garden? They had to move the entire conference schedule around. No one liked early Big Ten basketball games in December. He sort of has admitted this is a mistake, and yet he said the Big Ten would love to come back to Madison Square Garden. They just want to play the tournament a week later like they normally would. Is this Jim Delaney's biggest strikeout in his tenure as commissioner?
And I say this as a guy who admires Jim Delaney. I think he's, you know, if you look at the Big Ten Network, everybody was skeptical that that would work, and it has worked, and everybody else is trying to do it now, and the Big Ten does it better than anybody else, in my opinion. So this is his biggest miss, though. I do think that those early games are here to stay, though, in December, a couple games, just because I kind of, with the schedule going to 20 games next year, they're going to have to squeeze a couple more in, and I think that's where they're going to do it, because they don't want to play them immediately after Christmas. I think the coaches would rather have time where coaches can, and players can have a little bit of time off right around the holidays.
Now, Tom, I retweeted one of your tweets from earlier today, and it was the statistic about Jordan Bohannon being the only player the last 25 years with 150 plus assists and 80 plus 3-point makes as a freshman and sophomore. And I hear this all the time, and it kind of has me scratching my head about him not being a true point guard. And you pointed that out as well. It seems like somewhat of a trope at this point, but it seemed like we weren't having this conversation last year when Peter Jok was there to spread the floor out. It seems to me like this team would be able to benefit by getting another effective wing player as opposed to chasing this mythical unicorn-like true point guard. Am I off base here?
You are not off base. And I think that's the Jordan's taken more of a beating than any other player on this roster this year. And it's really been unfair for a couple of reasons. One, he's done his statistical numbers. And the first time I've ever heard of like what essentially is fake assists, or not earned assist, which means basically he's not really making passes that are difficult to lead to baskets. And I'd never heard that until this year, which is, and I've been around basketball for quite a while. So I think people are just searching for reasons to kind of try and diminish him. And second, he's played with the plantar fascia issue, and I've had it. Todd, I think you've had that issue with your foot too. And it is debilitating. It is painful. And I can't imagine playing high level Division I basketball, battling that and playing it at a position where you're having to try and guard quick people and get by people. It's just not possible. And the fact that he's had a really terrific year just says a whole lot about his toughness that he has shown this year.
There are a lot of rumors floating around about who's going to stay, who's going to leave, whether or not Fran McCaffrey is going to make any changes to his coaching staff. Regardless of the outcome of tomorrow's game, whenever Iowa is done in New York City, we know there is no postseason basketball for the Hawkeyes unless they win five games. How quickly do you expect to resolve some of these things that are out there floating around about who's staying and who's going and all of that stuff?
I think it will probably be, you know, it's hard to say. It depends how quickly they have their postseason meetings, because I think that's probably where these decisions get finalized with the players and coaches. I don't know that there'll be any changes in the coaching staff that will be announced immediately, but I think you want to have something in place fairly quickly if Fran does decide to make any changes, because you've got an evaluation period coming up in April, so you want to get somebody in and get somebody on board and get them up to speed on who you're recruiting and get a plan put together. But as far as the players, if they start having meetings next week, we could have some news next week on guys leaving. And I always say this, over 700 kids transfer just about every year. There's, about 350 teams, so you're averaging about two a team, and I would think I've kind of just said I bet two, three players end up leaving this year, just looking for different opportunities.
What's the level of panic on the message boards regarding transfers at HawkeyeReport.com?
Oh, it's always high. You know, you guys know that. It's always the world's coming to an end. You know, I have said that other than probably Connor McCaffrey and probably Nicholas Bear. I don't think the Bear Cage is going anywhere. But other than those two, I would guess there'll be a rumor about just about everybody, either fans trying to push somebody out or legitimate rumors that somebody's going to be leaving.
Tom Caker at HawkeyeReport.com. Enjoy the meal tonight. And I told Halas earlier today, make sure he tries those meatballs because they were delicious.
I'm saving room for that cheesecake too.
Yeah, now you're just rubbing it in. We appreciate it, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Okay, take care, guys.
Tom joining us from New York City, where coming up in just a few minutes, we are going to play, I say we, Alex and Kyle, are going to play Name That School, Big Ten Men's Basketball Tournament Edition. Says stick with me on this one. You'll have a 1-in-14 chance of giving me the correct answer. But we'll lay that out for you, as well as your all-time greatest retro logos in sports. It is National Retro Day. I have no idea the genesis behind National Retro Day, but I'm seizing upon it to talk old logos. Phil Miller from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, located in the second best state to live in the country, will join us tonight at 6 o'clock.
Are you going to say that to him?
No, I'm probably going to not rub it in. And now, if it were sunny in Iowa City and we're talking about women's curling, yes, I would totally rub it in. LowTUSA.com is a website to go to learn more about Mantality, a men's health clinic that's located in North Liberty that can get you feeling like your old self again if you're suffering from low testosterone. I say that, maybe you've got a quizzical look on your face because you don't know what low testosterone is, but chances are, if you are suffering from it, you probably don't even know it. But the symptoms can manifest themselves in a number of ways. Maybe you're carrying some extra weight around the midsection. Maybe you're just a little bit more tired. You don't have the energy that you used to in dealing with your wife or your family or your coworkers. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but Mantality can. They can get you feeling like your old self again. They've got a 90% success rate at treating men for low testosterone. You can learn more and even make an appointment with them online at their North Liberty location by going to LowTUSA.com. They just signed a new ambassador today, former Green Bay Packer and inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler, the Mantality ambassador. We'll learn more about Mantality in the days and weeks to come here on KGYM, I'm sure. 520, we'll step aside. Remember, 1600 AM in about 10 minutes, give or take, joining up with the Cyclone Radio Network for John Walters' call of Iowa State, Oklahoma State from Hilton Coliseum tonight. So if you listen to us on 1600 AM, you're going to listen on the FMs or online for the remainder of the program tonight. We don't want to lose you. 319-366-1600. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, congratulating our winner from Center Point tonight, Patrick from Center Point, taking home those WWE Road to WrestleMania tickets. Back with more after this.
So this house is in a great neighborhood and walking distance from one of the best schools.
And what are they asking?
The asking price is only 24 years of really, really hard work.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
Well, the house across the road just sold for a few years more.
While other insurance companies just see a house, we see the home you've worked really hard for, so why not give it the protection it deserves?
Tell you what, why don't we offer 23 years with a fast close?
We're gonna need to sleep on it.
Yeah. State Farm. Call an agent today.
Dear Glovebox Granola Bar, I bit off more than I can chew. It's been months and things are starting to get a little stale. Sure, you're there when I need you, but do I even want you? You're completely nuts. And a few dried raisins. I'm done reaching for you in desperation. And all signs are pointing to special sauce.
Let others know you've rediscovered your love for the undeniably craveable Big Mac. And for a limited time, try the Mac Jr. and the Grand Big Mac, all with that irresistible special sauce. At participating McDonald's.
Napa Know-How.
Keeping it simple is usually a good thing. And when it comes to rewards programs, keeping it simple is always a good thing. That's why we made the Napa Rewards program effortless. All you need is your phone number to start saving on the parts and tools you need. Then we automatically give you $5 off your next purchase for every $100 you spend. So start saving today with Napa Rewards. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. Did you know that with the Loan a Tool program at AutoZone, you can borrow a specialty tool with no purchase necessary? Choose from over 100 tools to help you get the job done right, no matter how big or small. And right now, get 5.25 ounces of Luca's Complete Field Treatment for $4.99 each, or two for $8. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide, and let's get you what you need. Deposit required. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way for another hour tonight until we give you high school basketball on our FM frequencies. If you're listening on 1600 AM, we mentioned a few minutes ago, we're going to step aside there for Iowa State basketball coming up at the bottom of the hour. So you're with us for just a few more minutes. Enough time to squeeze in another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Rick Heller and his 5-1 Hawkeye baseball team are playing their home opener today at Duane Banks Field against Cornell College. They got started around the same time as we did, with freshman Trenton Wallace making the start. They're now in the bottom of the fourth. Cornell did get on the board in the top of the inning, but the Hawkeyes still lead 8-1 with two RBIs for Tyler Cropley, Justin Jenkins, and Lorenzo Elion each. Lost in the busy news day yesterday was that the Iowa basketball team will be one of the headliners at the 2K Classic, benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project at Madison Square Garden next November, along with Syracuse, Oregon, and UConn. Also participating are Eastern Washington, Green Bay, Morehead State, and UMKC. The Colonels announced today that with fan safety in mind, they'll be extending the netting behind the plate at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Where the netting previously extended to each dugout, it will now extend to the end of each dugout. We're going to be on the North and South Gym FM frequencies in just a few minutes because we've got Iowa State hosting Oklahoma State on senior night. That's going to be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. It's going to be the final game at Hilton Coliseum for Donovan Jackson, Jeff Beverly, and Princeton transfer Hans Braes. And all those guys are going to be in the starting lineup for tip-off at 6 o'clock. We're going to be off the air altogether then, beginning at 6:25, because the big week for high school basketball continues. First, we'll have Iowa commit Joe Wieskamp and Muscatine taking on Linmar in a sub-state final from the U.S. Cellular Center, followed by Cedar Rapids Kennedy and Iowa City West. You can hear both of those games on 106.3 FM the South Gym and 107.5 FM the North Gym.
Cyclones trying to avenge that overtime loss to Oklahoma State that took place in January in Stillwater. We'll hear John's call and look forward to the Big 12 tournament getting underway next week. But the Cyclones still finishing up regular season play. You and I and Iowa heading toward the postseason. Arch Madness gets underway next week. You and I draws Evansville, right?
Yes.
Purple Aces?
The Purple Aces.
In the opening, or their first game, I should say. The Iowa women are also getting ready for the Big Ten tournament, the women's tournament. They have a bye. They will await the winner of the Northwestern-Wisconsin game. this week. So best of luck going out to Lisa Bluder and her squad. And as we mentioned yesterday, I don't know how the Big Ten women's coaches could vote for anybody other than Megan Gustafson as the conference's player of the year, but they did just that. The media naming Gustafson the most valuable player in the Big Ten. Coaches, I don't know, a double-double machine, eh, give the award to somebody else. Still mystified as to how that happens. Go to KGYMradio.com. You can vote in our poll question tonight. It has to do with the Iowa men. Do they make it to the month of March in New York City? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. It is National Retro Day today. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about some of the greatest retro logos in sports history. Logos that maybe should never have been retired, that you would like to see make a resurgence. And also, in just a few minutes, in honor of the Big Ten tournament being played at Madison Square Garden in New York City, Alex and Kyle are going to join me for the first time ever. We're going to play a game called Name That School. This is Name That School, Big Ten Basketball Tournament Edition. Are you intrigued?
Absolutely. Is what this wacky think, facts about, man, about
what,
these
what do
schools?
You think it entails?
Name the school with the wacky fact about them. Which
school? No wacky facts.
No?
Yeah, I'm going to throw a curveball right now.
Wow. Well, I'm really intrigued. I have no idea what to
there
expect.
There will be no wacky facts. This line will be a factless, fact-finding mission coming up in just a few minutes. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on all three KGYM frequencies for a little bit more, not quite, 1600. Good night. Talk to you tomorrow.
Get ready for WWE Live's Road to WrestleMania. Finally this Sunday at 5 at U.S. Cellular Center.
This is my championship. Come take it from me.
See AJ Styles defend the WWE Championship in a 2-on-1 handicap match with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Plus Randy Orton, Royal Rumble winner Shinsuke Nakamura, Women's Champion Charlotte Flair, and more. Don't wait. Great seats are still available at the box office and Ticketmaster.
Napa Know-How.
Right now, you can get a $20 prepaid Visa gift card by mail with the purchase of a Napa Legend Premium battery. Its superior durability, capacity, and power make it the obvious choice for people who hate getting stranded by a dead car battery. So pretty much everyone. The Napa Legend Premium battery and $20 back. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 2/28/18.
For a limited time, Wendy's Quarter Pound Double Stack is just $1. That's right, a tasty two-story tower of melty cheese made with fresh, never-frozen beef for just $1. And since Wendy's Double Stack has a whole quarter pound of beef, it's the best double cheeseburger you can get for just $1. But a deal this big doesn't come around every day. So get a Quarter Pound Double Stack at Wendy's, because it won't be a dollar forever.
Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada at participating Wendy's.
You'll find more and more companies in the IT business charging a flat rate to their client each month, but we don't have that here. I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. We would never charge somebody just to have a relationship with them, only for services that we provide, because we really value the relationship that we have with our clients.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
We now leave regular ESPN programming to bring you this live sports presentation on 1600 ESPN Radio.
So this house is in a great neighborhood and walking distance from one of the best schools.
And what are they asking?
The asking price is only 24 years of really, really hard work.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
Well, the house across the road just sold for a few years more.
While other insurance companies just see a house, we see the home you've worked really hard for, so why not give it the protection it deserves?
Tell you what, why don't we offer 23 years with a fast close?
We're gonna need to sleep on it.
Yeah.
State Farm. Call an agent today.
Dear Glovebox Granola Bar, I bit off more than I can chew.
It's been months and things are starting to get a little stale. Sure, you're there when I need you, but do I even want you? You're completely nuts. And a few dried raisins. I'm done reaching for you in desperation. And all signs are pointing to special sauce.
Let others know you've rediscovered your love for the undeniably craveable Big Mac. And for a limited time, try the Mac Jr. and the Grand Big Mac, all with that irresistible special sauce. At participating McDonald's.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
Is there a worse word used frequently in sports than tanking? Don't answer that. I'm sure there is. But tanking is just so ugly. We're going to tank, or they're tanking, literally, hoping for losses over wins. At least that's at the management level. The word has come up plenty as the NBA season begins its wind down. And Mavericks owner Mark Cuban even got fined $600 for confessing on Julius Irving's podcast that Dallas was tanking. Now, I'm with Dirk. Nowitzki said yesterday after the Mavs won a game that he doesn't like tanking, that it sets a dangerous precedent and example for the young guys. And he's right. How can losing ever be better than winning? And by the way, what about the fans? Even though the Sixers have made themselves a future from a past full of tanking, I'll stick with Dallas for this math. The middle-of-the-road season ticket for the Mavs goes for about $3,000. Let's say you buy two, because very few people actually buy one. For every game you go to where the Mavs are tanking, not playing the players that give them the best shot, etc., they're wasting 150 of your hard-earned dollars. You cool with that? In 60 seconds, perspective.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.62%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 12 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Tell me how this would not impact you forever. A young man killed in the horrific South Florida school shooting has been buried wearing your basketball jersey. Joaquin Oliver was the young man who died in this case, and his parents told Univision Sunday that Joaquin was buried in his Dwayne Wade jersey. Oliver was thrilled that Wade was returning to Miami, and Wade's reunion with the Heat came about a week before the deadly shooting. Oliver thought so much of Wade that Oliver's parents thought Wade's jersey should be what he wore. How would you feel if you were Wade? If athletes don't think they're role models, even when they may not want to be, they couldn't be more wrong. Wade, by the way, did say he became emotional when hearing the news. I would hope so. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
534, welcome back on our FM frequencies. 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 here in Cedar Rapids. Two out of three ain't bad, as Meatloaf once sang. It's the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Speaking of retro, a Meatloaf reference. You ain't getting that everywhere on the Sports Talk radio dial. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertine and Stocker text line. You can use it to reach out to us. Although Kyle is temporarily disposed because he's in the studio with us for Name That School.
I'm so excited for this.
Big Ten Tournament Edition. We've never played Name That School before. Therefore, we have never played this particular edition of the game before.
Does it need any background music? Oh, okay.
No.
That doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
I'm just
if we
so
had
sad.
If we had a Big Ten theme, you know who's not sad? Sonny in Iowa City. He doesn't need to hear how Canada blew it anymore during the Olympic updates. I'm not piling on. We have like five
you're
loyal.
Not piling
we have
on.
Like five loyal listeners. Sonny is one of them. I don't want to alienate any of the five, particularly Sonny. Hopefully, he's taking it all in stride. Also, this hour, we're going to talk retro logos because it is National Retro Day, and there are some great sports logos that I think need to be returned to the limelight somehow. And you can still find them out there, but I'm talking about a team putting them back into circulation, using it as the primary logo. But without any further ado, we're going to play Name That School, Big Ten Tournament Edition. And the end goal here is to prove a point that I think everybody already knows. So I'm going to... Kyle's got a computer in front of him here. I'm a little worried about him cheating. This is like going to a trivia night where they tell you to put your cell phones in a basket in the center of the table. You're not... Do you give me your word that you're not cheating? You're monitoring the Iowa baseball game, aren't you?
Iowa baseball?
They're still playing? Yep. They haven't 10-runned them yet or 15-runned them? Or
not quite. 9-1 now.
Whatever college rules are.
I'm looking up retro logos.
Okay. Alex, this school is 678 miles away from Madison Square Garden and New York City.
Whew. 678.
Here's a hint. It's one of the closer schools to Madison Square Garden. It's in the upper half of schools that are close to New York City.
Okay. Well, I know Penn State's closer than that. Rutgers is closer than that. I know Maryland's closer than that. Give me Purdue.
That's actually correct.
Yes.
This game could be over before it even gets off the ground. Kyle, I'm going to give you 915 miles. Name that school, Big Ten Tournament Edition. Which Big Ten school is 915 miles away from New York City, meaning its fans would have to travel 915 miles just to go to the Big Ten Tournament?
I'm going to admit, I saw what you saw yesterday, and I think Iowa was in the nines. Was this Iowa?
Oh, we got a tie game here.
Oh.
This, among my better ideas for the program,
thanks.
This is not one of them. I'm going to make it a little bit more difficult here. 1,185 miles. Alex Kuhn.
1,185. So
keep in mind that there are a couple possibilities here.
Yep.
Huh. You know what? I'm going to go with the University of Nebraska. Lincoln.
That is correct.
Yes.
Time to make it a little...
2-1.
Time to make it a little tough here.
I'm in this to win this.
I appreciate that. 700,
I'm tanking.
750 miles.
750, okay.
Again, one of the closer schools to Madison Square Garden.
So that's...
They only have to drive 750 miles if they want to see their team or fly.
How far apart are Purdue and Indiana? I'm gonna go with Indiana, I think.
That would be incorrect.
Ah! Can I steal it?
You can steal it, and then we can put this out of its misery.
What is...
Because I think this sucked.
Northwestern.
Oh, no.
No,
Northwestern
too far.
Is 715 miles.
I thought you said 750.
50, yes.
Oh.
Northwestern is 715.
Mm.
Do I now get
but
to...
But you were... No, you don't.
Ohio State.
No, you don't. You lose. It was...
Told you I was tanking.
Illinois.
Oh,
750 miles. Sense. What we're trying to do here, and I think most people in Eastern Iowa would agree here, is drive home the point that the Big Ten playing its conference tournament in New York City was a bad idea. They put up distances yesterday at Madison Square Garden, little signs. Think of the TV show MASH if you're older than I am of a certain age, with arrows pointing in the direction of the schools with how many miles, and it's been universally circulated on social media among people who think it was a bad idea that the Big Ten played its conference tournament there. If you're curious, the closest school is Rutgers, obviously,
yes,
in Piscataway, 31 miles. The next closest school?
Penn State?
Well, I'll let you guess. Is it Maryland or is it Penn State? Which school is closer?
All right, geography. I'm trying to think because all those states are so clustered together
you know, it's
in that
okay.
part of the
you
country.
You didn't go to school in Iowa, elementary school in Iowa, the number one state in the country to live in. So if you don't get this, it's okay. You probably were failed by your state of Missouri education.
What was the education ranking in Iowa?
I think education was 5. And I'd be willing to bet that one of the four schools, or one of the four states ahead of Iowa was not Missouri.
Yeah, I don't know. Was it a blue ribbon school? I'm going to have to say
I drank a lot of blue ribbon when I was in school.
Rough.
Not elementary school. I was in college. It was part of my problem.
I'll go ahead and say Penn State.
Maryland is actually closer. College Park is 199 miles away from Madison Square Garden. State College is 203 miles. So Maryland wins by 4 miles. Attendance tomorrow night, or tomorrow afternoon, I should say. Iowa and Illinois tip off at 4:30. People in New York City are still going to be, it's the middle of the week. They're still working.
See, I usually, when there are small crowds, people refer to it as a family and friends crowd. I think the family will be there, but I'm not sure if the friends are going to make it.
As has been pointed out, no school should have to travel 1,000 miles to attend its
Who thought it was a
tournament.
Good idea to put that sculpture or the signs up?
The Big Ten, the same institution that thought it was a good idea to play the tournament there in the first place.
So let's put the tournament in a place that we know, or we at least everybody knows, is going to be a bad idea, and then let's put up a bunch of signs so people control us about it.
That's what I didn't get. Why? Why put that up?
I've said this before. I'll say it a million times. The tournament needs to be permanently located in Indianapolis, and I know they don't necessarily want to do that because Indianapolis is already the permanent home of the football championship game, which is much more recent addition to the fold than the men's tournament. The women's, you can float that around. That's fine. I think they should play it in Indianapolis. Indiana, just that state loves basketball, and that city goes crazy when the Big Ten tournament is there. Iowa fans drank Indianapolis out of beer. You guys listening know how cool of a city Indianapolis is. There's a lot of great bars. There's a lot of great places to eat. It's just a very vibrant, good-sized Midwestern city. Chicago is a little too big. The event gets lost in the shuffle there, although I love the United Center. I think it's a great venue. The East Coast is just, it's a non-starter. The Big Ten is a Midwestern / Rust Belt athletic conference. Play the games in the heart of the conference's footprint. Don't go to the little toe. The little toe doesn't serve much of a purpose. Don't go to Washington, D.C. or Madison Square Garden or, heaven forbid, the Barclays Center or some other second-rate New York. I give them credit. If you're in New York City, you're playing at Madison Square Garden. Don't play it anywhere else. But I think they should play this in Indianapolis every year. They're not going to. I know some people have said float it around and Minneapolis would be a good choice. Then you've got a geographical issue for the schools out east as well. At least with Indiana, the state of Indiana, not the school, it's relatively centrally located. It's still a trip. If you get in the car in Iowa and drive to Indianapolis, you're going to spend a third of a day getting there. But it's doable. And it's a little bit cheaper than New York City. I can't wait to see how many. There will be Hawkeye fans there, I guarantee you. And there will be Illinois fans. It's just a matter of how many.
I was there for the NIT semifinals and finals when Iowa was there. That would have been 2011. I'm just wondering whether the crowds are going to be bigger for the Big Ten tournament or the NIT finals, because they were very sparse for both.
I think the NIT finals would outdraw the opening games.
That's
now, I don't know
good.
About as the tournament goes on, you'll have more people there. But for tomorrow afternoon, 4:30 Central Time tip-off, it's going to be a tough sell. What is not a tough sell is putting retro logos onto merchandise and taking the hard-earned money of people like me. Today is National Retro Day. And so we ask you at 319-366-1600, what are some of the best logos that you would like to see come back into use in the world of sports? Alex wins the hockey division because to me there is no greater logo that I miss more than the Hartford Whalers. And that was your response earlier today on Twitter.
One of my favorite logos. A Hartford Whalers jersey.
Great logo. Hartford franchise relocated to Carolina over a decade ago, right?
Yes.
The Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, I think, are we coming up on 20 years now?
Has it been that long? There were some good old hockey logos. I'd put the Minnesota North Stars in there as well. Now, the Stars are still in existence in Dallas, but the North Stars.
Those were great. With the
that was a good look.
Oh, absolutely.
Baseball's got its fair share. You've got the, and in fairness, many teams do have throwback uniforms now. The White Sox wear those 1983 uniforms, which I think are fantastic. I have a Carlton Fisk 1983 White Sox number 72 jersey at home because I liked Carlton Fisk as a kid growing up. The Astros, the rainbow jersey, big fan of those. The NBA, I think, has some good, outstanding retro logos. Do you remember what the Milwaukee Bucks logo used to look like?
I'm trying to jog my memory.
It was sort of a comic-style deer with a basketball.
No, I don't remember that one.
Okay.
I do remember the Toronto Raptors.
See,
that's still a classic.
With the dinosaur?
You can't call a team that came into existence when I was in middle school or high school classic. I'm not going to allow you to do that.
And by the way, the Carolina Panthers have been in existence.
The Hurricanes.
The Carolina Hurricanes have been in existence since 1997.
Okay, so there you go. 21 years the Hartford Whalers have. That was kind of the NHL's version of the Green Bay Packers. I mean, Hartford's a nice city, but they had an NHL team and then unfortunately lost it. And they're not going to get a team back. The NHL, if it expands, as we've seen in Las Vegas, it's looking very much like the Pacific Northwest, and Seattle will be the next location. Maybe they can be the Seattle Whalers. Maybe they can buy the team name from Hartford. There's whales on the West Coast, right?
Definitely.
Not just an East Coast thing.
I have seen a whale very in the Puget Sound.
Very impressive.
In Seattle.
And several years ago at a resort in the Dominican Republic, there were people there that would have said they had seen a whale as well. But it was just me there on vacation prior to the weight loss. My biggest nightmare was that I was there, same resort. Brent Bloom and his wife were there for their honeymoon, and I missed them by about a week and a half, 2 weeks. And my biggest worry was, what would I have done had I had somebody there at the resort who knew me? I wouldn't have been able to walk around like Brett Bielema, shirtless. You know that photo I'm talking about, the Bielema photo. People make fun of him. That was me in the Dominican several years ago. Old logos that should be brought back. 319-366-1600. What else you got?
If you can't count, I just need a ruling. We can't count the Toronto Raptors.
I would prefer not to.
Okay.
Just because it makes me feel old and I'm being selfish.
What do people see in the old Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniforms?
The creamsicles?
Yes.
You're talking about the orange and yellow?
Gross.
Awesomeness.
Ugh.
Those are awesome uniforms, and when the Packers and the Buccaneers played every single year, I love that. I can still picture that. Green Bay, Tampa Bay in those uniforms.
The Chargers baby blues, though.
Oh.
See, that's
uniform.
More color scheme and uniforms. I'm talking logo.
I wanted to pop in. I've got a submission. I'm very serious about this. I wouldn't just barge in like this for nothing. The old Brewers, the MB that forms the glove with the baseball right in there.
Yeah, do you want to hear something really sad?
Perfect.
I was in my 20s before I realized that that logo wasn't a baseball glove. I was in college and somebody had to point out to me, you do realize that it's not a baseball glove necessarily. I go, what are you talking about? It's a baseball glove.
You want to hear something even more sad?
Why would a team... You've never known that? Did I just...
No, you broke that to me, though, about a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
So you... Or maybe it was like 3 years ago. But I learned from...
You ever seen
about
a four-fingered baseball glove? And I was like, nah, okay.
Didn't pay that much attention.
M and a B. Oh. And then
typical me.
Then it dawns on you.
Okay, well, what about the...
I own one of those hats, by the way. And I, as a Cubs fan, I shouldn't admit to owning a Brewers hat. But I love that logo.
It's a great
logo.
It's
the logo the Brewers wore when I was a kid. And again... This goes back to the easiest way to take money from somebody is to remind them of how their childhood was.
The Seattle Mariners had a couple of them.
There was the original Trident back in the late 70s, but then they went to a different version of it in the mid 80s, which was solid. And I had one of those hats I bought on a trip to Seattle about 20 years ago. Mariners logo right now is not bad.
So... People have the Buccaneers, but what about the old-school Denver Broncos uniforms and their logo?
Oh, the old-school Denver Broncos, absolutely. Sort of looks like the Durham Bulls baseball logo. They're very... I've had somebody ask me if I'm a Broncos fan before when I've had my Bull Durham-style hat on before. No. It says nothing to do with the Broncos. One of my all-time favorite retro football logos, though, is the New England Patriots. The Patriot sort of...
They bring those back a lot.
They do, and I'm wearing the Cubby Bear pullover today, the logo that the Cubs wore when I was a kid in the mid-80s, and they've sort of brought that back into circulation. The Patriots wear that as sort of a secondary logo. I think that Patriot logo is better than the current one that they have. I'm not really a big fan of their current logo. It's National Retro Day today, in case you think we're just killing time until we talk with Phil Miller, coming up in a few minutes from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. There is method to this madness on National Retro Day.
The Seattle Supersonics, according to 8310, that was another one I brought up. And then 0636, the Houston Oilers. My first ever jersey as a kid, I think I was 3 years old.
Warren Moon was a
Warren Moon Houston Oilers jersey.
How does a kid in St. Louis wind up with a Warren Moon jersey?
Because you're a Jersey kid.
And we're not talking about Rutgers.
No, we're not.
We're talking about jerseys that you wear.
Everybody goes to school with a Jersey
kid.
How
old were you?
I just said I was three, but I was probably five or six. I don't exactly remember, but around...
Kindergarten or first grade, Alex Kuhn asks Santa Claus for a Houston Oilers Warren Moon. I like that. Retro logos that teams that a better radio host than I am would have asked whose old logos are better than their current logos and then given the phone number and then we could have gone from there. I didn't set this up very well because I'm sure there's a team out there that has a new logo that isn't nearly as good as its old logo. And dare I say one right off the top of my head, Iowa State, I'm looking at you. Not the Dan McCarney sigh in the Cyclone. That was a little too cartoonish for me. I liked the old school yellow helmets with the red Cyclone on it that they wore during the 80s. But again, look at me going back to my childhood saying that was a great logo because it reminds me of when I was a kid.
Well, let's go the...
The I State right now, that branding, doesn't do anything for me.
I'll go the other direction. Uniforms that don't need to come back. The Cleveland Cavaliers have a much better look now than they ever have. Those old school Cavaliers.
The orange and blue, Mark Price era.
Gross.
The San Diego Padres are getting mentioned right now on the text line as an example of uniforms that don't need to come back. They were the taco unis in the mid-80s, the brown, orange, yellow combination. Like in 84 when they beat the Cubs and went to the World Series. That was a bad look. Before that, they were brown and yellow when Ray Kroc owned them. Bad look. Padres have bad uniforms right now, the blue and white. And they're starting to bring back the brown and orange combination from the late 80s, which I never thought was a really good look, but it's better than what they do have now, in my opinion.
The person that has brought up the Padres uniforms is trying to tell you that they brought them up because they like them.
Oh.
Plot twist.
Oh, yeah. There's your Law and Order twist. And I think we mentioned this, by the way. The Tampa Bay Rays this year are wearing their Devil Rays jerseys for the 20th anniversary of the franchise on specific Sundays. That, if you recall, was peak late 90s, where you had the bright green, yellow, blue, and it sort of all blended in together. That was an unfortunate look. Arizona and Tampa Bay came into the league at the same time, and you had Arizona, which was the teal, purple, golden brown combination, and then you had the Devil Rays, whose logo had three or four colors that all blended into one. It was a bad look. 319-366-1600. We'll keep it here. Kyle's going to give you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and then Phil Miller from the Minneapolis Star Tribune will be with us. He's in Fort Myers, Florida, at Twins camp.
Rick Heller and his 5-1 Hawkeye baseball team are playing their home opener today at Duane Banks Field against Cornell College. They got started around the same time that we started the show, with freshman Trenton Wallace making the start. The Hawkeyes, that game's in the sixth now. The Hawkeyes are up 9-1. Most of the starters have been pulled, but 7 of 9 starters had hits. 8 of 9 scored runs. Tyler Cropley and Justin Jenkins each had 2 RBIs, and Lorenzo Elian had 3. Lost in the busy news day yesterday was that the Iowa basketball team will be one of the headliners at the 2K Classic, benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project at Madison Square Garden in November, along with Syracuse, Oregon, and UConn. The Colonels announced today that with fan safety in mind, they'll be extending the netting behind the plate at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Where the netting previously extended to each dugout, it will now extend essentially to the end of each dugout. You're hearing us now on the North or South Gym because it's senior night in Ames. They're hosting Oklahoma State and sending off Donovan Jackson, Jeff Beverly, and Hans Braes. And they're going to be getting tipped off here in just a few minutes. We're going to be off the air altogether beginning at 6:25 because the big week for high school basketball continues. First, we'll have Iowa commit Joe Wieskamp and Muscatine taking on Linmar in a sub-state final from the U.S. Cellular Center, followed by Cedar Rapids Kennedy and Iowa City West. And you can hear both of those games on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
All right, Twins fans, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, your home all summer once again for Twins baseball. Phil Miller from the Minneapolis Star Tribune is in Fort Myers at Twins camp. They're playing right now, I think. Hopefully we're not disturbing him and keeping him from his job. We're going to hear from Phil next. An abbreviated third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is on the way on our FM frequencies. Stick with us.
So this house is in a great neighborhood and walking distance from one of the best schools.
And what are they asking?